This is the Are You Screwed podcast.
Hello, sir. This is Jonathan from Sears. Do you have a moment for a survey?
I'm sorry, I do not.
The Are You Screwed podcast.
Sir, just one question, if you don't mind.
Shut up, working on.
Sir, is your refrigerator running?
Give your picks and move on. This is Adam's segment, you idiot.
I will ruin Rutgers.
The Are You Screwed podcast.
Virtual reality sex machine.
Oh.
The freshman out of Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania.
The Are You Screwed podcast.
He's bitty bad.
Gianna.
Mike, get your picks ready.
Gianna.
I predict that I'm going to get blackout drunk at every tailgate so I don't have to watch the game.
Good morning to you, and how you be? 12:06 and 17 seconds on a Monday morning schmooze. Steve Summers here, you there. Mike Vorkunoff, Adam Helfgott, Max Shiner on the other side of the glass.
The Max Shiner?
No, Mad Max. Who do you think we're talking? And you know, from the 1-718-937-666 number to call here on a schmooze overnight on your fan, New York. Well, it has finally happened. It's been a long time, but it has finally happened. Oh, it took 30 years, but it finally happened. The wise old Wenzel had brought this night from worst to first, and once he was gone, no man's land. In between, there were strip free throws and bar shots with Bannon, Billets and Doobies and Irvays, oh my. Gary Bridges over troubled waters. Fred over the hill. Mike Rice-A-Roni. And Eddie, not that, Jordan. Even Harry Carey would say, holy cow, it's been a long time. Until it seemed like only the end of the world could stop Rutgers from making the NCAA tournament, and then it did. But pound nails they did. And now Pikel and Young and Harper and Caleb, Mulcahy and Miles and Geo Baker, the big shot maker, are dancing in the streets of Indianapolis. Their name has been called, their ticket punched, their fans elated. No, they will not go quietly back that away to Piscataway, for it's off to Indy. Run, Rutgers, run!
And welcome to a very fun and exciting episode of the Are You Screwed podcast. You heard our good friend say it. 30 years, the waiting is over. Rutgers is going to be playing in an NCAA tournament game in just a few days, fellas. Adam, Mike, and Max here. What should be a very, very fun episode, hopefully.
Man, we got Joey Downs. I mean,
we do.
In the
schmooze,
episode description.
Joey Downs.
We got the schmooze, Joey Downs. I think we outdid the Scarlet Spotlight.
I mean, low bar to clear, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, we've got an NCAA tournament game coming up this Friday night, Rutgers and Clemson. I don't know. What do we want to talk about? This actually happened.
You guys want to talk about lacrosse?
We could do that. I was thinking, it was funny. You know how like when teams go through hardships and, you know, they finally get to where they want to be and the fans like, oh, I wouldn't want it any other way. That's not true here. I'm like obviously Rutgers fans are happy, but there is literally like a million different ways that Rutgers fans would have preferred that this happened. But it was still cool on Selection Sunday. I know everyone thinks that I don't care, but man, like when they came up, that was so cool, man. That was just amazing.
Yeah, I was able to watch it. Our group of friends that we've shared tickets with, that my dad has shared tickets with for over 30 years, we all watched it together through Zoom, and that was a really cool moment. And we maybe one of our most liked tweets ever was Danny Breslauer, giving us the video of his reaction, and seeing him super happy was really cool. That was a lot of fun to see.
Yeah, I'm happy for guys like you and for Danny, who, you know, Max and I are kind of interlopers a little bit. living vicariously through you guys. So I'm happy for you guys who have really, you know, really made it hurt, had it hurt for you for a few decades. But I mean, you've earned this unlike any other, I think.
Well, I think the players have earned it. We've just kind of gone along for the ride. But yeah,
listen, I don't know what more you can say about the players who have had to like play through in the most exploitative college basketball season in history, in which they've been taken advantage of by the institutions that are supposed to protect them from the NCAA, you know, to Rutgers University, right? Every single member institution. But I mean, from a fan standpoint, like, you guys have waited 30 years for this. Adam,
it's pretty
you've
cool.
Literally waited a lifetime.
Yeah,
I'm happy for you.
It,
and everyone
it's cool.
listening.
I can't wait to just sit, you know, start watching the first couple days and just enjoy the fact that, well, I'll get to see Rutgers play. That'll be really cool. And from the draw standpoint, like, I get it. I know you don't want to look ahead, but you get to look ahead as a fan. You get to play that stupid game, and it's awesome. Best draw you could have asked for.
I wanted to laugh about that, right? Okay, so you know why it's the best draw? How many of these people were actually watching Clemson and Houston? None of them. It's that Clemson's a program that you haven't really heard of. You don't really know a lot about them. And like we know from the NCAA tournament, most teams between like the 6th seed and the 11th seed are exactly the same, right?
No doubt.
But the only like I've watched Houston a couple times. Houston's pretty good. Like they're really good. They're a 2 seed. The only reason that people think that's a good draw for Rutgers is that they're Houston, and they come from a conference that you don't respect.
Well,
people aren't out there watching Houston.
No, your point should have been they'd rather Houston because they're not named Baylor or Gonzaga. That's the reason. I mean,
well once you're a 10 seed, you're not going to play a 1 seed.
No, but what I'm saying is everybody was kind of dreading the 8-9 seed, and I was agreeing with your point the whole week where it's like, stop looking ahead anyway, but if you are going to look ahead, you'd rather have the 7-10 game to get the 2 than 1, especially this year. I mean, it does. If anybody has watched Gonzaga, that was kind of like the, oh shit, if they would have had to face them, we could have been talking Louisville Rutgers from 2014 AAC massacre style. So, you know, at least now you can talk yourself into it. I think I've talked myself into a Sweet 16 run. I think I've done it.
Why not? I mean, you know, there's no reason that they can't. They can also just get blown out by Clemson. That's the magic of the NCAA tournament. I remember I thought it was funny. I think it was Cratch who sent out the text. Said something to the effect of Clemson hasn't been a good team in a few months. And I was like, Rutgers hasn't really been a good team in a few months. Like, now that they're finally here, we can kind of reflect on the last few months. And, man, this team, like, they really wheezed in there. Their wins since the new year are 3 against Indiana, 2 against Minnesota, 2 against Northwestern, and 1 against Michigan State coming off a COVID pause.
Yeah. I got to say, right now I have them playing West Virginia in the Sweet 16, and I don't know. You know, obviously Rutgers always historically has trouble against West Virginia. So I don't know. Huggins. I'm trying to figure out whether to send them to the Elite Eight.
Well, as long as James Townsend isn't in at the end of the game, they'll be okay.
But it's the tournament. Sure. I mean, the great thing about the tournament and about this Rutgers team is that they could beat Clemson. They could beat Houston. They could also lose to Clemson by 30, and you wouldn't be surprised. There is nothing that this team can do that surprises you, and that's why it's great.
Yeah, just be happy. Just be happy. It's fun. It's cool.
I don't know, man. Okay, so Danny does his celebration, right, and Rutgers fans everywhere are doing the same thing. How long before they get greedy? All right, it's great that they got their name called. How quick before that you get
next,
greedy?
So are you playing the are you asking the question where if they lose on
year.
Friday, is it a disappointing season? Is that
no,
where you're
I,
going
no,
with
I
this?
Mean like,
wait, time out. Wait. How long until they get greedy, he says of the Rutgers fans, from the guy who tweeted, is this the best it's ever gonna get
no,
under this coach?
I mean greedy as far as this year, because Rutgers fans just wanted that moment where they heard their name called. That's all I want is to hear Rutgers' name called. I'm just wondering, and I'm sure we'll get a text from Danny when he hears this, how long did it take Danny to start getting greedy? All right, let's go. Let's beat Clemson. Let's beat Houston. Not that they're going to be mad if they don't, but like when does that initial thought of, I'm just so happy they got called, go away? Because I'm saying
as soon as they saw that matchup, as soon as the 8-9 wasn't a real thing anymore, the majority, I'm going to guess, started thinking, oh, wow, they can make a run here. This is set up for them to make a run.
And we knew that pretty early because we knew they weren't going to be an 8-9 in a region with
Once they got past UConn and once they got to Baylor and Gonzaga, and you weren't in that, they couldn't be in with Michigan and Illinois.
Right. So then you knew those were going to be the one seeds, and then you, so at that point you knew they were going to be a 10 or a 7 seed. I was really hoping they'd play Oregon. That would have been fun.
Yeah. But Mike, we just get to yell fuck Dabo for a couple more days.
I know. He's the wanker of the year. Again, it's wonderful.
And Nick Honor.
Rutgers, that's going to be the tough one.
We'll remember from Fordham. I think he had like 30 points when Rutgers went up there to the Bronx and lost a couple of years ago, and he's now at Clemson.
He's the big boogeyman for Rutgers basketball.
We're actually talking about Rutgers playing in an NCAA tournament game. It's kind of crazy. And that Rutgers game, by the way, that game's not going to start till what, like 10:30? Like it says 9:20, but something's going to happen.
Like you got to drink probably. I mean, probably Friday night. You're going to have to do at least one shot of whiskey and one shot and like 1 5-hour energy.
I was going to say I'll define success this season if I could stay like be alert and coherent through that entire game that late in the evening. That'll be a success. Like it won't even, maybe by the end, I won't care if they win or lose. I'll just be like, you know what? Hang a banner for me for getting through that game at that time of the night.
I don't know if there's a game before them, so it actually might be at 9:20 because the way they're scheduling it this year, I don't think it's like usual where it's this right back to back. I could be wrong though.
Hey, Either way,
Rutgers is 34th in the KenPom rankings. Clemson is 42nd.
Can we talk about the point that Max brought up in our text chain? And I don't think anybody really wants to focus on this, but where Rutgers was seeded overall, they were really, 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 really close to the 11 seed line and really, really, really close to a couple play-in games. If things didn't turn out where they beat Minnesota and Indiana, whoa.
They got the they were the last 10 seed. They were the third to last team that didn't get into the play-in games. That's crazy. We did not think they were that close. Like if they don't beat Indiana in the Big Ten tournament, they end up playing in the first four, which is not like, I think we expected after they beat Minnesota. Obviously, this is all speculative anyway. I think we all just expected, okay, well, they're in and there's no way they're in the first four. But maybe there was a scenario where, like, maybe they lose to Indiana and Michigan State beats Maryland in the first round of the Big Ten tournament. And then
they would have flipped, yeah.
Yeah, and Rutgers is in that play-in game, and Rutgers fans would have been mad.
Oh, my God. It almost.
How are you guys watching this?
On TV.
TV?
Oh, thanks. I didn't think you were going to Indianapolis.
well, maybe. I mean, I don't know. Some people are. Some people are making the treacherous journey out there.
I hadn't thought of it. We could do like a Zoom thing. I don't know.
That's what I was asking.
Adam's probably doing it with like his family and stuff, right? Like,
I haven't even gotten through the plans of it. I don't know. I haven't gotten that far. I've gotten a few texts from buddies who were like, are we doing anything? Some things along those lines. I don't know. It's cool again to have people interested and get a couple random texts from buddies who were like, this was awesome. I hope you enjoyed it. Like, really happy for you and the family. And, hope, you know, that's cool. I hope a lot of Rutgers fans who have gone through that, you know, have sat through the crap, just soaked it in for a little bit. And then on Friday, let's go crazy and be annoying and greedy and want them to win. And that's it. And
Do we want to get to, because Mike's got to go pretty soon, and I got to get out of here soon too. So do we want to get to this Joey Downs audio?
Yeah, let's let everybody listen right now to, again, we spoke to Joey Downs. I think we've talked enough about Rutgers Clemson this Friday. You guys will all, everybody get excited for it. The majority of this episode is going to be my interview with Joey Downs that I did the other night. Mike are not available.
What's funny is when Adam, when we kind of planned out this week, Adam talked to Joey Downs, Mike and I couldn't make it. And I was like, you know what? We're going to be brief this week. People don't want to listen to a long, drawn-out episode. You know, Adam will talk to Joey Downs for 15 minutes. We'll come on. We'll talk some Rutgers basketball, 20 minutes. Like, demanding all that time out of people this week was you know, I thought it was like, okay, cool. And then Adam's like, yeah, okay, I just got done with Joey Downs. It's 38 minutes. And even without Mike and I, of course, the interview rambled on. But I heard some of it. It was really good.
Yeah, I do. I don't. You know what? Fine. I'll oversell it. It made it into the top three of our favorite interviews that we as a podcast, I'll say it did, even though this was me solo on this one. It's up there to me with the Savon Huggins and Jamal Westermans of the world.
Adam's a great interviewer. And by the way, you've just named our three best interviews. None of them included Mike. You're a jerk.
You know what? Now that I think about it, it's an interesting point. Okay, well, everybody at this time, listen and enjoy Joey Downs with us, or me. All right, Joey, I appreciate you taking time to talk with us. we are just a few days away right now from, it feels weird to say it, Rutgers is going to be playing in an NCAA tournament game for the first time in 30 years. I won't do the dumb thing of asking you where you were then because you weren't around then. But, you know, I did see that the guys included you in some capacity in the celebration and the announcement with Shaq. So first off, what was that like being able to kind of experience it in some way with your former teammates?
Yeah, that was cool. It was more of just get us on FaceTime just to say hi to the guys. And then we got the phone was passed around. I got to say hi to like former coaches and Randy and everyone really. So it was nice to kind of say hi to everyone, but I wanted them to enjoy it. So I kind of took off. I kept my camera on, but I went downstairs to watch it with my family. And then when it was over, I went back up, congratulated the guys. And it was just great to see them.
So what was it like for you? You know, you mentioned watching with your family and kind of, you know, chilling out to go see that. Was it as surreal for you as it was for, you know, us kind of, you know, diehards who have seen this program through the worst of times? I can't imagine it as somebody who went through what they did last year and now kind of being on the other end like us where we're kind of viewing it from a distance. What was that like?
I mean, it was cool. So I'm not I wasn't a diehard Rutgers fan before I came to college. I'm from Massachusetts. I barely knew anything about Rutgers. So when I got here, I didn't really understand the magnitude of how long it had been and how much pain these fans have been through. So like getting their perspective and over the 4 years talking with them and like learning about what this experience has been for them the last 26 years when I got there, but the pain that they've felt. So watching that, honestly, my thoughts went towards the fans. They went towards the donors, the season ticket holders, the people that have given so much to this university and to our basketball program and haven't really gotten much in a long time. And then to kind of see that reaction yesterday and to see the guys on national television get up and scream and to see Rutgers come up on my screen playing Clemson, it was surreal. But I was just thinking of the season ticket holders, the fans, because it, like, being there at Rutgers for 4 years and finally understanding like their pain and what they went through, and to see our name pop up, it was such a cool feeling to have. And thinking of them,
was there any hint of, I hate using the word jealousy or disappointment, of just not being able to be there, but I mean, it seems like a fair question to ask solely for the fact that I think all of us would kind of have that human instinct to be like, oh, that was supposed to be me, and you unfortunately didn't get to have that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, this is a little, the jealousy more so goes towards like the fact they're going to be playing the games, not that I'm watching it, like their reaction and everyone's talking about them. The jealousy is more of the fact like they're going to be on the court Friday night with like the whole country watching, which is pretty cool. But like, I'm just happy for them. Like, I guess unless you're in that circumstance and you're with those guys for 4 years, like guys like Gio, Miles, Luke, like I was with them for 3 years. Like, those are some of my best friends. So like, unless you're around them like all the time, you don't really understand where I'm, like, a lot of people don't really understand where I'm coming from, where it's like, I'm so happy for them. Like, those are my best friends. Like, I love them. So like, it's not really jealousy. It's more of like, I'm just excited. I'm happy for them. They got this awesome opportunity.
Being that you're so close with those guys and seeing what Steve's done with the program since you got here in his first year, what changed? Like, what was it just basic steps? Like, was there something that clicked where you even at some point were like, holy shit, we're gonna do this. Sooner or later, it's gonna happen.
Yeah, practices changed from coach trying to get us to work hard and to bring forth some sort of effort to the players bringing that effort and work ethic without the coach telling us. Because like my freshman, sophomore year, like it was really, the practices were heavily driven in like the, how can I say this? Like the atmosphere, the noise in the gym was always coming from the coaches. Whereas junior and senior year, you felt like the noise was starting to come from the players. We were the ones starting to bring the energy, starting to bring the passion. You could tell guys just loved basketball. Like my senior year, everyone on that team just loved basketball. We wanted to win. We were connected, and it was more of like, let's win, let's win, let's win. It's not like, let's try to perform well and try to get noticed. It's more of like, we're here to win. We're here to step up and play for this university. We're in this together. And you kind of started to feel that too when started to win some games, things started to click, and then we couldn't win on the road, but like practices still remained hard. There was a lot of energy. Nothing really changed from that perspective. So the change from Pikul from freshman to senior year wasn't really much of a change. It was more so of like the players, just like the energy we brought, and the practices got harder and harder, and we were the ones that were making it harder.
For you guys, last season, the one thing we've gotten used to, at least from my perspective, is like watching games with no fans is weird. I kind of got used to it by the end, and I still don't enjoy it very much. It's been a very odd experience overall. Like going back and looking at the progression and like the places you've gotten to play and the crowds that you got to play in front of last year, like do you sit back and just like be like, what is your favorite memory that you do have?
There's two. I mean, the last two games, I can't really think of anything other than those two, because senior night was just crazy. Last game at the rack, place is just rocking as usual. And we get out to that great lead, and then we maintain it the whole game. That was awesome. But, like, it's hard to really compete with that win at Purdue. Purdue, have you been to a game at Purdue before?
I have not been to Mackey. Indiana really isn't on, like, the top of my list of, like, states to go to for, I mean, certain reasons. But it's obviously known in the Big Ten as a really interesting and tough place to play. I think all of us who saw you guys last year were like, wow, they're going to have to I hope you guys were confident, because as fans, I think we were nervous, and I'm sure the drought had something to do with it. But when you guys pulled that off, it was like an awe, like that's crazy. I can't imagine from your guys' perspective what that was like.
Yeah. I mean, you should definitely add it to your bucket list going to Mackey, because it feels small. Everyone's like on top of you, but their stadium's like what, twice the size as ours, and sort of
it's one of those odd, like, it reminds me a little bit, I know Illinois is a little bit like that, in that like bowl shaped, like they're kind of, Michigan I know is like that as well too. I will add that. Is there anywhere else that you played over the 4 years, where whether it be non-conference or in the Big Ten, where you like that should go on somebody's bucket list if they're a College Hoops fan?
Yeah, go to College Park for a sellout. That place is awesome. The students are so into it. If it's a sellout, like it's crazy. I remember, freshman year, because CJ Geddes was on our team, and what a name.
We've had CJ on. If you ever talk to him, just ask him about his twin brother PJ, and he'll know exactly what you're talking about because of our stupidity.
No, I'll have to hit him up. But we had this play where we just like went like this, because it was so loud in there you could hardly say anything. So CJ would go like this to get the play called. And the fans at Maryland, they catch on to that kind of stuff. So every time there was an out-of-bounds play, CJ would go like this. And every single student was just like this, up and down. It was just like they were so into it. And that's them the entire game. So if you can go to any college basketball game, I do recommend Mackey. It's awesome. But like College Park in Maryland is amazing,
and that's a cool place. I was there once when I was at Rutgers. It was fairly new when they built that place, and did a women's game down there. But I know the steepness of the student section itself, it's like a wall right on top of you. That's a cool place. I know they bring the big flag out beforehand, and they kind of surround. That's a good one. In terms of kind of this year, like how are you, like I'll use the term diehard again, and again, these are all your best buddies. Have you been following them pretty closely for this season?
I watched almost every game. I might have missed a couple. My mom might be even more into it than me. She watches every single game. I just had class a few times, so I had to miss a few games. But I mean, I keep tabs on everything. I go through the box score afterwards. but I'm always looking and watching. It was, I guess, the only difference between last year and this year is instead of sitting on the bench, I was sitting on my couch with a beer in my hand. So that's the only difference.
That's not a bad thing.
No, it was great. Better view, and I have to worry about like getting up during media timeouts. I could just sit there the whole time.
I forgot
how bad media timeouts are, by the way.
give me what happened. What's like as in like your position on the team through those 4 years? Like, take us inside media timeouts, regular timeouts, like having to like keep people hyped. Like, to me, that is fucking exhausting.
So when you're watching the game, so from my perspective, watching the game, I was literally looking at the clock the entire time, because I'm waiting for like 16:04. It's like, all right, get ready, you're about to pop up. And then 15:59, whatever, hits, and you just sprint down on the court. And when you're in the huddles, it's like half the time, like we have a timeout every 4 minutes, plus the timeouts we have that like we carry out throughout the game. So it's like, what could you possibly say in every timeout? So Pico's usually in the huddle just rambling about the same thing, depending on if we're winning or losing or how we're playing. And then the guys that are around that aren't in are, we're all saying the same things, like, let's go, guys. Like, we're repeating what Pico's saying. Like, it's so unnecessary to have that many timeouts. I get why they do it, but, like, it's just so unnecessary. Find yourself literally thinking the whole game's like, all right, are we under eight yet? Like, get ready to run out. Like, the managers are next to us with the chairs, like, ready to sprint onto the floor. You're just hoping you don't run into one of them. It's a mess.
I can only imagine kind of the shenanigans that go on. I think, you know, this year Luke's gotten a big, you know, celebrity status with Benchpop. Same with Nick. You know, is it one of those things where mentally, like, you kind of know your position on the team, and so you buy, like, how much do those guys have to buy in versus the Geos and Rons of the world? Because to me, I mean, you guys are obviously important. You're not nobodies.
It's a different buy-in. I mean, first off, I grew up in Massachusetts. I'm a Bill Belichick diehard, so do your job. My job during the game is to be loud, to be raucous, to know the other team's plays so I can get up when we're on defense and start yelling them out. That's my job, so I try to do that. I think that's what everyone tries. Hopefully Luke and Nick did well this year. But no, it is a different mindset to have. Like, in high school, I played at a small school. I played every minute. So you go into the mindset. You don't even think of, like, it's hard to even sometimes think about the guys on the bench because you're so focused on the game. So, like, guys like Gio and Ron, like, if you're trying to give them tips during a game and they're kind of ignoring you, which they never usually did, but if they are, you understand. You're just trying to, like, be a good teammate. But, no, I mean, we just try to do our part. Like I said, we run the other team's plays during practice the week before, so we know most of their calls. So when we're on defense, we're trying to stand up, yell out those calls. We're trying to help them as much as we can. But like I just said, like, a lot of times they'll probably just zone us out. They probably don't even realize we're there, which is fine. And I completely get that. That's how I was in high school. So it's a totally different mindset. You got to go into the game thinking, like, how can I help us from the bench? How can I bring energy? How can I get these guys pumped up, ready to play? And if they're down, they're not playing well, how can I get them back up, get their head back up? So that's really what our job is, and we just try to do it as best we can. And watching Luke and Nick and Daniel and all those guys this year do a great job of that, it's been awesome to see how they've carried that with them throughout the years.
Who it was in the Big Ten the toughest team offensively to mock?
Oh, this is a tough one. First off, I found myself during games this year, like, calling out plays. That's how, like, some of these programs run the same offenses every single year, so you start to pick up things. But most complicated, Michigan's was a little complicated. They ran, at least when I was there 4 years, it was like this 2-3 offense. Once we learned it and we did it well, it was also the toughest for our guys to guard during practice. So we loved Michigan once we had it down, because we would just score every time. You can ask, if you can get in touch with one of the guys during these next few years and you bring that up, they'll be like, yeah, we got our ass kicked every single time. So that was always fun. Purdue's was a little challenging just because they had like 40,000 plays. In the year they had who's the big guy?
I was going to say, who played Matt Harms? Who was the big doofy, like, dude trying to just dunk on everybody? And who was like Jacob Young, who actually – we always made the joke. We made the joke on this podcast last week that Jacob Young actually turned Matt Harms into a Mormon and sent him out to BYU. Like, he embarrassed him so much in that game at Mackey at the end that he was like, all right, I'm going to leave. I'm going to the mountains, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. That is true. But usually we'll have one guy that's, like, redshirting, or we have a transfer. So we get JY 1 year. One year our scout team was Luke, me, Miles, Pete Kiss, and then one other guy. So every year we sort of have some guy that we can go to that's like one of our better players, and then we sort of all play around that. But Luke was always the big guy playing like Harms, or I keep forgetting the kid from my freshman and sophomore year from Purdue, the big white kid.
I'm just gonna type in like big Purdue white center and see what comes up. We'll probably get a list of like 100 of them. Is it Isaac Haas?
Yes, Isaac. Okay, yep, that's him.
Okay, there we go. See, I'm not even kidding. That's all I typed in. I typed in Purdue white center.
Yeah.
That is the most effort that we've ever put in on this podcast to do that on the fly right there. So good job by you and me.
Love the research. so yeah, when we played them, they had like I said, like 40,000 plays, but 39,000 of them were post-ups for Isaac Haas, just different variations. So Luke always loved those days because he got a bunch of touches.
Who was the easiest then to get down? And you were like couple minutes and like, we could easily run these sets.
There were some non-conference teams where like, it was literally like they passed the wing, you cut through, and then a big guy comes up for a ball screen. That was like the entire offense. Big Ten. Wow, that's a tough question. I wish I thought about this more.
I didn't mean to catch you off guard on that one, but it's one of the few things, as like somebody who is under 5'8", like if I was going to be on a basketball team, I know my role would be on scout team at best, or probably manager, but maybe like if the scout team guy gets hurt, they could throw me in for a second. But then you have to learn an opponent's playbook. That's probably one of the more influential roles that you have in getting your teammates ready for a game. So I'm always just curious in terms of like, all right, these people, if they only knew how we prepared for team X, like it's a lot easier than you think, or it's a lot harder than you think.
It is crazy. And it's every 30 minutes before practice, usually when we start the first day. And then from there on out, 30 minutes before, because we keep adding things every single day before the game. And I'm going to call out Luke, especially freshman and sophomore year. He could never remember anything. He would always go to the wrong place, so we'd have to run the play over a million times. And when we had Coach Young would run us to, like, we would be there from the 30-minute mark before practice until the one-second mark on the side court learning these plays, and Luke just would always mess it up. So that was the only issue I ever had with getting the plays there. But that, besides that, we'd always usually get it down first couple days, and then the third day we're usually clicking.
We asked this question last week because it was the end of the Minnesota game, and Gio took the last shot in regulation, couldn't get it to go down, and then Jacob took over in overtime, very similar to last year with Purdue. So from a teammate perspective, how does that work at like the end of a game? Like, do you guys just kind of look at each other and be like, we know who's getting the ball? Is it Steve who's telling you guys who's getting the ball and running a specific set?
Is this more of like you're asking like, what am I thinking with like the guys?
Well, both. So like, I guess so. Mentally, like as a fan, I'm like, Geo Baker's going to get that shot. But I'm curious from you guys, like if you know something, obviously we don't know whether that's the coach calling the play or like Geo's in the huddle is like, I'm getting the ball, guys. Like, come on, this is my time.
So I think since I was at Rutgers and Geo was there, well, we had Corey. It's usually the guy. So, like, Corey was the guy sophomore year, freshman year, that would get the ball at the end of games. And then Gio kind of took that role. And, yeah, we kind of know, I'd say so, like, who's going to get the ball. And we've run, I think, the same play for, like, the last couple years. We don't go horns. We go four down, and the two big guys come up, and then one of them will fake. what I'm talking about.
And then Gio's got room for his step back ISO, and he's good. He's good to go. And listen, all the fans are totally cool with it because he's made it enough. And actually, it's interesting from hearing it from you and somebody who has had to run other offenses, and then you've obviously been under, we're under Steve for those 4 years. Was there ever like any frustration did you sense within the guys in terms of things when things would stall, if you couldn't go to something in particular to like get out of a funk? It really didn't happen a ton last year. It's happened more this year in certain cases, probably because Akwazi's not on the team and you're missing a few guys. But did that like ever happen where frustration would boil over because of, I don't know, a lack of ability to kind of get yourselves out of a funk?
Never usually frustration with the actual offer, whatever I noticed. I mean, I don't know what the guys are thinking, but like from my perspective, the frustration usually was always just like from player to player, like someone wants the ball, someone wants a shot, that type of thing. It was never sort of the offense we were running. That's a tough question. It's a good one though. It was never like we don't believe in the offense we're running. It was more of just like guys wanting the ball or wanting to get shots, wanting more time. That was where the frustration always boiled over, but it never was a problem with us, at least while I was at school. It was maybe like a 1 minute thing, and then we're in the huddle during one of those million media timeouts. Calm down right away. So
who was your favorite Big Ten official to heckle? Could you heckle anybody?
I wasn't a great heckler. I was next to Luke for 3 years, who broke my eardrum, and he knew probably every single ref. But he loved Bo Borowski.
Oh, I was waiting for that name to be mentioned. You're going to make so many fans happy with the fact that Luke gives Bo Borowski shit. I think every Big Ten fan is, they think that there's a conspiracy against their own team. When it, like, that's just sports in general, right? I'm sure, like, as a like anybody who would play the Patriots, if you're a fan of the other team, you're like, oh, the Patriots get every call. It you know, that's just how it works. It's Bill Belichick. It's the same thing in college sports especially. And that's awesome to hear that Luke would have at least a little bit of fun with them.
Yeah, and he's crazy. Like, if you mic'd up Luke for a game, he'd get canceled. Like, whatever, Twitter, Instagram canceled. He would get thrown out of college basketball. Luckily, he's never mic'd up. And I'm the one that gets to hear everything, and I kind of just try to get it out of my brain as fast as possible. But it was a fun 3 years listening to him yell at those refs, that's for sure.
That's awesome. Well, I'm only going to keep you a few more minutes here. And we do random games, we make them up, and I'm going to make one up with you in a second. I think that it'll be fun. I want to go in one kind of half serious, in a serious direction here with the guys that you played with, especially being Gio, Miles, and Ron. This past year, this past summer, everything that had been going on with social injustice, and to see kind of these guys step up and kind of play a role in the community and have their voices heard. It's also really rare to have college athletes also try and fight for themselves in terms of rights within the system that exists now. And Gio kind of, you know, some would say stuck his foot in it this past year. I think it was great for what he said in terms of the NIL stuff. And, you know, he used the term modern day slavery, which I think, we're again, parsing words is never a great thing. And I'm not going to tell Gio Baker how he should feel. We should all respect that and understand where he's coming from. From your perspective, like, was that stuff ever talked about, specifically like the name, image, likeness stuff?
More so from freshman year to my senior year, the conversation grew a lot. When I was a part of SAC, which is the Student Athlete Advisory Committee, that was a major topic. And then even with our team, we'd have a meeting once every fall and once every spring with an update on the NIL, what was going on. And there was always a conversation between us and people within Rutgers, like, obviously not me. I'm not going to make any money for anything.
Well, you know what? Maybe you're an interesting example. I mean, again, it's kind of up to any in our perfect world. You know, first off, the Joey Downs of the world, you don't have to walk on. I mean, we would love for you to have a scholarship from day one, and like everybody kind of gets that. And then on the side, you know, it's up to Business X if they want Joey to do some crazy commercial and they want to pay you, like, good for that business. Same if they want, you know, Gio has talked about it. He wants to start a camp and, you know, teach kids. Nothing should be holding him back from doing it. And if his name gets him that recognition and money, like, all the more power to you. I mean, we know the imbalance of power and where, listen, it's all about money at the end of the day. It's why this tournament's going on right now. And they're bubbled up in, you know, Indianapolis. Otherwise we'd call it pro sports. We get what it is. So it's interesting to hear. Yes, the conversation changed. Did it ever get to the point where, like, you would have, and you don't have to tell us who you had conversations with, but where even your perspective changed? Did your perspective change at all over those 4 years?
Yeah, for sure. I was just happy to be there in my freshman year. I didn't think we needed to be paid. I was just like walking into the gym like, this is awesome. And then it gets to a point, though, where, like, you start to realize the attention that as we start winning, especially the attention that your team starts to get. So you look at, like, a school like Duke, where, like, Zion Williamson is, I can't imagine the attention he got. Like, guys like Gio, Ron, Miles, they get a lot of attention, and they play at a big state school. So, like, there's a lot of people in New Jersey, and there's a lot of people that root for Rutgers. So there's a lot of people paying attention to them. So it's amazing how, like, so the conversation obviously would change as I got to my senior year, and it got to the point where guys like Gio and Miles, they're right. They have a point, and I started to see their point, especially, like, around my junior year. And I'm obviously on their side. Like, I agree, college student athletes should be paid, or they should get some sort of compensation, whether they can just use their name. Like Gio said, can I have a Gio Baker camp? Like, the fact that he can't go home and do that during an off season where he can make some money is I don't know. It blows my mind. But those things are changing, though. I think in the next few years, there should be some more change. It'll be gradual, but there is change happening. I know that for sure.
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective. We talk about it a lot. Listen, those who have listened to us, we end every podcast with the tagline, pay the players. We know it's not that simple. And, you know, we're just looking for, you know, better representation, a little bit more of a balance and power. We use the example where, you know, I wanted to, you know, I think what Miles Johnson is doing off the court is amazing. And yeah. you know, the nonprofit that he started, it's kind of a shame that, like, I just can't give Miles X amount of money for the organization right now because it would be considered illegal under, you know, or it would break NCAA rules illegal, yeah. whatever the hell, right? You know, they're not going to come and knock down on my door.
And another great example of this is last fall when Barstool was doing some like pizza challenge. So you go, like, we had one pizza place that was Daniel's. I don't know if you know what Daniel's is. We were asked by RU Stool to go and do a pizza review in front of Daniel's. So we did that and we had to submit the video to our guys at Rutgers that like oversee all this, and it got shut down. We couldn't post the video because broke some sort of violation. We were trying to get Daniel's attention, but like apparently we can't do that because we're student athletes. So there is just small things like that that need to be changed that are just so pointless and unnecessary.
Yeah, like you said, you know, it's awesome when you start winning. Like, that's the cool, like, Rutgers is the prime example where we talk about like a small portion of time in capitalizing on it, because think about it, you guys are on the road to break a drought and all of a sudden you guys are getting the attention. I assume first off the bars had to be pretty fun in terms of when you guys started to win and like being able to be recognized. Like, there's a lot of good shit that comes along with it, along with the fact that it kind of stinks when, like, you know, we'll use the Barstool example, we've used it on this podcast before, like, they're selling a t-shirt right now for $30 with Ron Harper's image on it with like the bow and arrow. And I'm very happy Ron told him that he was cool with it. But like at the end of the day, Ron isn't getting a cut of that. Yeah. That is crazy to me.
It's insane. Ron deserves money for that. And right. getting the same exact thing from like the Rutgers store. I don't know. Does the Rutgers store sell?
They can't sell anything yeah. because of that. Or they're at least they're cautious not to, because I'm sure, yeah. again, within, like you said, within a year or two, we all think it's moving in the right direction, which is a good thing. Before we kind of wrap up. So one thing, I'll get your prediction at the very end in terms of the game against Clemson and where you think they're going. Again, like I said, we make up stupid games on this podcast. So one I came up with was, and I'm sure you probably have heard this play on your last name. So I want to play thumbs up or thumbs downs in terms. And I'm just going to name things that have to do with Rutgers and random things in life. You tell me thumbs up or thumb downs, and we'll go from there. I'll start with hopefully an easy one, fat sandwiches.
Thumbs up.
Yep. Okay, thumbs up. All right. The Rutgers bus system.
Thumbs sideways. I have a love-hate relationship with the bus stop. It taught me a lot about patience and a lot. I had as a writer, you have a lot of time to sit in that bus and think about things and write things down. But thumbs down, because I've spent my summers at Rutgers and my app told me 20 minutes for the bus and I sat there for 3.5 hours waiting for a bus to get back to College Ave. So
all right,
sideways you can go with that, but I will lean towards.
So kind of like properly rated. We all right. Yeah. We'll go a split on that one right there.
I kind of like that answer.
Yeah. What about Coach Pikel's dancing skills?
Thumbs up for sure.
Thumbs up. Okay. Jacob Young's trash talking ability.
Thumbs up. I say anything else.
Yankee fans, having to be around Yankee fans.
Thumbs down. The worst experience ever. Honestly, the Yankee fans do stink. Eagles fans are the worst. I had to watch the Super Bowl my sophomore year with Eagles fans, and that was the worst night of my life.
Okay, that actually, now that makes total sense on that end there. I'm fine with you on trash in Philly. We don't mind that here. The thumbs up or thumbs downs, the fa-la-la-la trolling video that was played all last year for the opponents at the rack.
Thumbs down. I mean, get more creative. Wasn't it the same one they used sophomore, junior year too? Yeah.
I'm with you on that. Okay, going back to kind of, if Luke would probably be a better person to answer this, but in general, Big Ten officials.
Thumbs down.
all right, these next two, hopefully I bio'd you correctly. Thumbs up, thumbs down, the song Paradise by the Dashboard Light.
Thumbs up, favorite song of all time. Bad Outta Hell is the best album ever. Meatloaf, GOAT.
Okay, now tell me this. I work weddings as a side job. What do you think the percentage rate is of success when you play that song? Because if you play it, you're committing to playing the entire, you cannot cut that early.
No, you can't. But people think it's two songs. If you don't know.
Okay. People, right. Because, okay. When they get to the talking point, you can maybe get at, is that your, that's your cue to maybe get out of it if it's not working?
Yeah, that's definitely a cue to get out of it. But if, how is it not going to work? It's one of the best.
I'm, I'm with you.
That's gonna work.
If you've got a good, and if you got like a fun rock crowd, that's, it'll work every time. It'll it'll work. And you just need like one drunk uncle to sing and you're fine at that point.
I mean, if I was DJing the wedding too, I'd play the whole album front to back.
That's a bold strategy, but I like it. I'm glad you have a plan going on into it. All right, last one. This is gonna be a deal breaker for a lot of people right now. Thumbs up or thumbs downs, the song Return of the Rack.
Funny story before I get to this.
Okay, go ahead.
This was last year this came out, right?
This was last year, yes.
I think it was winter break, and we're in a serious film session, and Pyko just ends the film session, stops it, and goes, guys, I got a video for you.
Stop.
We had already seen it, and he played Return of the Rack, and he was like jamming to it, and all the guys were just cracking up. I love Return of the Mac. So the beat, I mean, I think we need to work with the voices a little bit, maybe the lyrics.
Oh, I mean, we are the worst singers ever on this podcast. And that's kind of the joke now that we've gone. And you know what? I am so happy that not only I've said you guys knew that came out. I mean, like, you guys are on social media. You see the crap that comes out. I'm glad that you guys at least enjoyed it to the point that we did. Like, this is so stupid. It might actually get to you guys.
We were all laughing, and though guys were making fun of it, a tremendous.
Oh, believe me, we make fun of ourselves all the time. If you can't make fun of your own self after hearing that shit, I mean, what else are you gonna do? All right, so you're telling me
a name in there. You guys didn't mention me. So
that is, you know what? I'm going to, off the back end of this, I'm going to talk with Max, who is the creator of Return of the Rack, and he deserves all the credit. We joked that after last year. And after the whole COVID stuff, like, the funniest thing would be when they get to eventually honor you guys, which they need to do. They need to honor your team from last year and this year's team and have a big night when fans are really truly allowed in. The funniest thing ever would be if they put that up on the big board. Like, that is one of our goals, to make sure that song somehow gets played at some point. Like, even we can make it, like, I know Boston, you guys got the whole Sweet Caroline thing for seventh inning stretch. Yankees, you got New York after. Play Return of the Rack after every win. Let's do that.
I mean, I'd like that. I had an idea for the under four timeout that got shut down really hard.
Oh, what is it?
I'm a big rock fan, as you can tell, and I'm a big Bob Seger fan, and I thought we could make Night Moves and put a K in front of the N and just have the whole place singing Night Moves before lockout under four. We're winning under four. The whole crowd is dancing to Night Moves. I mean, it'd be electric, but.
Before we let you go, the last thing, let's hear it. Rutgers plays Clemson this Friday. I think this is actually, again, one of the best draws that Rutgers could have asked for when you really look at the tournament this year, based on what you've seen from these guys. Like, obviously, all of us want to see them make a really, really deep run. What's your gut saying right now in terms of kind of where they end up when this thing is over with?
Look, I don't know shit about Clemson. I couldn't tell you a single player on their team. I have no idea. I watched 30 basketball games this winter, college basketball. 29 of them were Rutgers basketball. I know Michigan. Michigan's pretty good. Oh, and I did watch a Gonzaga game. I have us losing to Gonzaga in the national championship.
No, I like it. No, that's it. That works. That works. We can just end it right there. So where do you have them if you want to reveal where you have Rutgers going?
I haven't filled out a bracket yet. I can't really make a prediction. Like I said, I don't know anything about Clemson, but I'm just going to assume we're going to win by 30. So that game I'll take.
Done. Mark it. You've heard it here first, folks. By 30.
Also, I've been on the I hope we finish in the 7 or 10 seed, because I think facing a 2nd round is much easier than a 1. I would have hated to be in the 8-9. So, I mean, actually, I do have something for Houston. I was with my friends. And they gamble a lot on sports. And they gambled on Houston one day. And I watched an entire Houston basketball game. That's another college basketball game I watched this winter. Make that 2. And they looked horrible. I don't know if that's just because they had a bad game. They couldn't shoot the ball. They play great defense, don't get me wrong. But they look like us from sophomore year. Like that. So that 10-2 matchup I kind of like, so I'll take us in the Sweet 16. I got a text from my brother today. Should I take WVU or Rutgers in the Sweet 16? I told him he'd be crazy not to take Rutgers, so I guess I have us in the Elite Eight now. So now we're in the Elite Eight. We're playing Illinois the third time, the rubber match, and... Well, you can end the podcast now. I don't know what I'm going to say.
Done. We'll end it at that. Joey, man, I appreciate it. Thank you for taking a fairly long time to chat with us on this. We appreciate it. Enjoy watching Rutgers and the tournament, and thanks for everything you guys have done these last couple of years. It really has been a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me on. This is a blast. You guys are great, and Return of the Rack will make its appearance at some point. I will get in contact with someone.
Okay, awesome. And if you, and also open invitation, if you ever want to make a song, if you ever want to make a song, you could submit it. We will play it right away for everybody. So you don't, there's no rush on it, but if you want to make a song, we will, and we could do a collaboration, anything. We're in for it.
I did have one, and it's, I don't know if you remember Jam with Joey. It was a very short-lived series.
Yes.
I have the idea, or I had the idea of my intro for those videos being a cover of Jammin' by Bob Marley and just changing the lyrics and making it, I'd sing in reggae, I don't know, but.
All right.
Yeah, we'll think
about
it.
All right, you let that marinate. We're going to come up with some stuff, and we're gonna have you back on, and we'll have a little fun with a song for you, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you for having me on again. This was awesome.
Awesome, man. Thanks, buddy.
I'm sorry,
Joey. My God.
I'm sorry. Oh man, I'm sorry.
Was it worth all the hype that I built up for you guys over these last 20 yes. hours?
Yes, absolutely. So Adam, when I wanted to listen before we did the episode, I wanted to listen to the interview. He wouldn't let me listen to the part at the end because he wanted to see our reaction. That's so Michael stopping the meeting.
That's amazing.
That's great. That's all I wanted.
To play it for the whole team. The whole team.
Oh, I love that they're laughing about it, man. Oh.
Everybody great. Who's listening right now, you've listened to the full interview. Max has still not heard the entirety of it, neither is Mike. So there's a little bit more that we didn't get to, Max. Couple little clip notes. One, Joey has promised to reach out to some people, and hopefully when they honor their team and this year's team at some point next season at the Rack, his mission is to get Return of the Rack on the scoreboard played in front of the crowd. He has made that his goal. He has also thrown out the idea of a song for himself and collaborating with us, and he'll come back on for an episode, and we'll try and debut a song for Joey. So it worked out. Like I knew I didn't mean to go so long with him. It was just so good where I couldn't stop it.
Max, yeah. It paid off. Listen.
You know what's funny? I have felt bad since the song came out that I didn't get the walk-ons into the song. Like I have felt bad since then that I didn't get them in. And and they noticed, and that bothers me. Like it's my fault, obviously. Like I got Mamadou in there, right? One of the most important lines of the song. But I mean, hey, Joey got in the rant. His favorite pizza topping is bacon, right?
Yeah. I was unable to squeeze that one. And if anybody has looked before, look up Joey's bio from ScarletKnights.com. It's the greatest thing that you could read. So that was awesome. It was so much fun.
That's so great. I really was like a meeting.
You got the Rutgers basketball head coach to stop a meeting during a film session and be like, "Hey guys, have you seen this video?" And just imagining him having fun with that. It's cool. It's really funny.
No, it's really, really funny. Cool. It's really cool. So the next goal has to be to make to get Shiana to do that.
I apologize
to the Rutgers basketball fans.
Oh, sorry,
for even mentioning Greg Schiano in football. I apologize. There will at some point be a song regarding this season. Just couldn't get it done in the last week or so. But there will be a song. There will be something.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I think that was enough, and that was a lot of fun. I'm glad we could end on that. And we'll even, of course, we will end this with you'll hear Return of the Rack one more time on the back end as we close this out. But Rutgers Clemson on Friday night. Hopefully everybody has a really fun weekend. Be really cool to come back next week and talk about them in a Sweet 16 matchup. But either way, we will have fun regardless.
Hopefully we're scrambling on like Saturday. We're like, we want to put out an episode. Do we want to talk about the game against Houston on Sunday? I don't know.
Could we get like last year we got the Max Rant from the rack against Maryland. Maybe we could pull out something similar.
Oh man, Rant.
This weekend.
Let's win first. Let's see them win, and then we'll go from there.
All right, that works. Well, we'll talk to everybody next week, hopefully.
All right, pay the players.
Baker with the high lob throw, up to Miles on the go. Pikel wants you all to know. Pick to finish, yes, Mostos. Montez has the blazing start. Daggers right in Minnie's heart. One at the rack once again. Show the world that they're for real. Top 25. All those times they said kick out, are you? Top 25. Young can fly, young can fly. Top 25. Mulcahy with a dime right on cue. Top 25. Harper Drive, return of the rack, it is, return of the rack, come on, return of the rack, oh my god, you know RU is back, Rutgers rock, return of the rack, Greg is back, return of the rack, pounding nails, return of the rack, trapezoid, you know RU is back, oh my god, Caleb's hair changes each game, Kwasi putbacks in the lane, letting all the Big Ten know, that the rack is not your bro. Our fans been waiting so damn long. Pack the rack 8,000 strong. So Big Ten, listen carefully. The odds of winning here are long. Top 25. First time since 1979. Top 25. Go RU. Top 25. Shaq Carter, a JUCO transfer steal. Top 25. Mama do. Return of the rack. It is. Return of the rack. Come on. Return of the rack. Oh my god. You know RU is back. Schemer guy. Return of the rack. Once again. Return of the rack. Pounding nails. Return of the rack. Trapezoid. You know RU is back. Blocking sled.